Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. This is a live call-in show. Our phone number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 657-383-0732. Give me a call. Share the week that you just spent with me. Share your ideas, thoughts, theories, organizational tips, or struggles, and we can talk about them right here. Once again, the number is 657-383-0732, and I am Jennifer Ryan. Give me a call and join the conversation. My website is www.createneworder.com, and this is Blog Talk Radio /Create New Order. You can get us live on Sunday nights between 8 and 9 p.m. Boy, I can't concentrate. That little ADD tonight. 8 and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Daylight Time, and then you can get us on demand anytime, also through iTunes. So sign up and hit the subscription button or the follow button on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll get the reminders of when I am going live, because every once in a while I have a surprise pop-up on Wednesdays, because Wednesdays at Create New Order is Tell Me Something Good Wednesday. You know what? We go through struggles, trials, tribulations all the time, and all the time there's turbulence. If you devote a little bit of time just to find the good stuff and share it on a Wednesday, it's a great idea. And that was inspired by my friend Patty. Inspiration surrounds us everywhere. Where are you looking? Tonight, I would like to suggest that you may become inspired by jealousy. Jealousy is a negative emotion, but it's a real emotion. Everybody feels it now and again, or once in a while, or once maybe. And jealousy is not such a great feeling. Jealousy generally is sparked by our own inadequacies or our own failures. We become jealous of somebody else because they have something we don't. And what does that mean? They have something that we don't. Are they living, they breathing, they moving, they shaking just like us? What do they have? It's a materialistic kind of a thing. Or maybe they have nicer hair, or maybe they are more slender than we are. Maybe they don't have to wear glasses. Who knows? Maybe we're jealous by certain things that we don't possess, qualities and traits that we don't have. It's the luck of the draw, isn't it? Well, we can be inspired by jealousy. We can gain energy toward improving ourselves if we are jealous of somebody. So I suggest that you find inspiration, if you suffer from jealousy in some way, to improve your own life and gain your own confidence and your own strength instead of using your energy for jealousy, which is really negative and defeatist. Use that jealousy to say, hey, what can I do differently? You know, you might be jealous of somebody's light green eyes. They're very attractive. And I have brown eyes, and I always used to wish my eyes were a different color. But there's nothing I can do about the color of my eyes. They are what they are. Yes, I wish I had blue eyes. Yes, I wish I had green eyes. In fact, I really wish I had green eyes because I wanted red hair also. Apparently, my mother wanted that for one of her children. And it looks like one of my grandsons is going to appear that way. We may have a little ginger going on. But we can't wait to see that. That would be so exciting. like, you can't change what you get. You get what you get, but you can make the most out of it. And you can be self-confident in yourself and have a good image of yourself. And keep yourself as fit as possible and as healthy as possible. And it will bring out the inside you. If you harp on negativity, if you harp on things that might not be true for you, or if you procrastinate, or if you're a little bit lazy and you don't get out there and move and stretch and become a strong person, then you might not shine with the inner gifts that you know you have, but most people don't see. It's not about, you know, being a supermodel. It really is about being the best you. And that's what this show is all about. So give us a call. Join the conversation at 657-383-0732. What's in my cup tonight? In my cup tonight is water, a lot of water. I have been running very, very, very dehydrated lately. And I think it's the weather and the heat. And I've just been drinking a lot of water, and I almost can't keep up with how much I need to take in. So something must be going on. I don't know if I'm taking a lot of antioxidants in my vitamins. Maybe it's too much, or it's out of balance for me. Maybe I'm exercising a whole lot. I am eating a little too much salt, which I happen to know that I should not be doing. But so I'm going to cut that back. But also, alcohol and caffeine will dehydrate you faster. So really take heed and be careful about the alcohol and caffeine, especially during the summer when we tend to sweat a bit. Take care of yourself and stay healthy by drinking lots and lots of water. I also tonight will be drinking some Sleepy Time tea. In fact, I'll get you the name of it. A friend of mine gave it to me, and it is just absolutely fantastic. It really helps get the right amount of sleep. It helps me go to sleep. Lately, I'm having some trouble, and I'm not quite sure why I'm having trouble sleeping, but I'm working on it and trying to figure it out. Now, I don't know if it's age. I don't know if it's atmosphere. It's definitely, you know, not my bedding or my pillow, because that's all stayed the same. It could be diet. It could be my exercise level. I've lowered my calorie intake. So I'm not sure exactly what is affecting my sleep habits lately, but I've been needing a little bit of help to go to sleep, and I really like the natural method. I have taken Tylenol PM, took some last week, and I will tell you, after just one night of taking the Tylenol PM, I woke up the next day like firing on all cylinders. I've talked about sleep before. I'll talk about it again. I'm not going to focus on it tonight. But if you need a boost, some herbal teas are sometimes the remedy. It really, really helps just relax you, and the nutrients from the herbs help you just go to sleep. So I know I'll be doing that tonight. Now, in 2 weeks, in the news, we have a solar eclipse coming. And I know in New York, we're only going to have a partial viewing of the eclipse. We won't see the full eclipse. But I do know that in California, they're going to have the best opportunity of seeing it. And the trajectory is coming across the United States, and it's coming from really Oregon, California, and it comes sort of at a slant. But in Clayton, Georgia, and Columbia, South Carolina, Nashville, Tennessee, Paducah, Kentucky, those places will be able to see the full eclipse. So I'm really jealous about that. It's going to be pretty exciting, because this doesn't happen all that often. And we'll talk about that more, and where you can get more information on that eclipse and where you can see it in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight, and we'll talk about it here on the show, and a little bit more about the last one and the next one when we can expect it. And today was a glorious day, mostly cloudy, with sun peeking through now and again. Absolutely gorgeous day out, and I'm on my own here, and my son is away, and he took the dog with him, so it's me and the cat. So got up this morning and I was wondering, what am I going to do with myself? Because I had a whole day ahead of me and really no responsibilities except my own. My house was clean. We had family here yesterday for an early birthday celebration for my son. And I got up today and I said, what am I going to do with myself? Now, I start my day generally by writing. I write every single day and I make notes or daydream. And sometimes I write toward my books. Sometimes I write toward articles. Sometimes I write letters. Sometimes I just write notes and ideas and inspiration. And of course, I write some poetry. But I start my day that way. And then I usually plan the day and say, okay, what is it that I'm going to accomplish today? Or what am I going to relax and enjoy today? The temperature was not great. It was not a beach day. It was not as inviting to go lay on the beach, which I love to do. And I feel like I have not gotten enough of that in this year. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I will. So what did I decide to do? Well, I was early and I went and I looked for a tennis game and the courts were empty when I got there. So I practiced serving today and I'm getting a little bit better, but the more I practice, the better I'm going to be. And again, anything that we do in our life, practice is going to bring us closer to being who we want to be and as strong as we want to get in anything that we do. This is in speaking. This is in listening. This is in tennis. This is in running. This is in cycling. It's anything that you want to do, anything that you enjoy, anything that really you have to do can require practice to build your skills and your understanding and your focus to make things effortless because it becomes a memory. It becomes a mind memory. It becomes a muscle memory. Whatever it is that you have to practice, we have to practice everything. We have to practice our craft. We have to practice our career path. We have to practice what it is that we bring to the table. That's building a good lifestyle. That's building a great professional. That's building a great worker. Whoever you are and choose to be, you need to practice it to get better and better and better at it. Once you master things, then you can decide to take something else on or go to the next level in the thing that you have mastered. We start with baby steps. Anything that we choose to do in our lives, we start with baby steps. Just like a child learning to walk, we have to take first step, second step, third step, and practice them until we get it without teetering. We get the balance, we get the stability in that practice, and then we can do what we set out to do. So I did spend the day out, and I'm going to go right to Girl in Town because I went out to Ringwood Manor in Ringwood, New Jersey. It is a New Jersey state park, and apparently there were several hundred acres, if not thousands of acres, on the original estate for Ringwood State Park. And the original estate started out, there were Indians on this land forever ago, and it turned out to be forges and ironworks. So originally, Native American people were there, and then in 1740, there was a man, Cornelius Ford, who settled there and utilized the property for iron mining. Apparently, Henry Ford prospected in this area looking for copper, and he didn't have enough money to buy the land or stay on the land. There was all sorts of people coming to that region looking for metal. And, of course, it was iron. So the Ogden family, who established the Ringwood Company and built the first furnace there in 1742, they had 20 years of production. And then a German promoter came in, and it just kept changing hands. Oh, it was 50,000 acres of land, the original forged land that was being mined. And it went all the way from New Jersey to Nova Scotia. The iron was said to be, the best iron in the American colonies. So the last iron man and master of American Iron Company was sent from England in 1771, Robert Erskine, and he would manage the company during the Revolutionary War. So then the iron mine there helped supply the Continental Army It got and went on and on. Robert Erskine was the Iron Master. He was General George Washington's personal map maker. And then he produced more than 200 highly accurate maps. And then he was the person to solve the complex problem of defending the Hudson River against British invasion. He designed a unique, and I can't even say the word, shaped obstruction known as the Marine Chevaux de Frise. And it was placed in the Hudson River to stop the British sailing vessels by ripping holes in the hulls of the ship. And, of course, it was made of iron. So I thought all of this was so very interesting. I was there originally to go and see the Manor House. And I'm learning all of this about, you know, colonial ringwork, and then American Revolution. And then today, because I went there today, there was an event, the Great War at Ringwood, an encampment commemorating the centennial of World War I was there today. And there were lectures and there were singers singing songs from the period, as well as people in period costumes and uniforms. There were helmets. There was artillery. They even had a motorcycle from World War I. So it was really fascinating just seeing that going on as well. Now, the Manor House and the landscape, it was just fascinating to me. Martin Ryerson bought the property in 1807, and he and his sons controlled the iron mines, but they also opened the production of four other locations in the area. So the Ryerson family resided in the 10-room Federal-style home for almost 50 years. In 1853, the Ryerson's house was purchased by business partners Peter Cooper and his son-in-law, Abraham Hewitt. And the 22,000-acre ironworks were purchased for $100,000. That's crazy, $100,000, if you can compare. Cooper, Hewitt, and Company then grew to be the fifth largest corporation in the United States. And they're one of the most influential and wealthiest family of the 19th century. They fell in love with Ringwood, and they made it their summer home. His daughters came, and they called it the Forge of the Manor of Ringwood. And they enlarged it, and it is now a 51-room house at 226 feet long and features 28 bedrooms, 24 fireplaces, 13 bathrooms, and more than 250 windows. Now, it's an American Gothic in the Victorian Eastlake period. The Manor House is a real Gothic revival, it's like a renovation. It's an add-on, and it's sprawling. Now, what's really amazing about this house is it has all of its original windows. There is not leak damage in this house, which we see so many times in these older, magnificent mansions. And this house is unique in the sense that all of the original furniture, or most of it, is still in the house. It's fascinating. It is an incredible, incredible condition. When you go through the front door of this house, it is designed to look like a lodge, like a hunting lodge. There's a bison head on the wall, as well as antlers, elk antlers that are magnificent. They're huge above the fireplace. And in the hallway, when you go into this entrance area, there on the wall is mounted guns from the 1830s and up. Apparently, Peter Cooper wrote to President Lincoln and asked him for guns that were part of the military, because his iron and steel was used to make these guns. Well, apparently, with that, Lincoln said okay, and they provided him with a gun of every single model that was made with the steel from the mines here. It's fascinating to see this entryway and how well done it looks and is presented and preserved. The marquetry, the Dutch marquetry furniture, is all there. You know, every single piece of the woodwork is hand carved. And one of the magnificent pieces of woodwork in this house is the banister that goes up the stairways, the absolutely gorgeous stairways. But the banisters were not original. There never were banisters. The banisters were added in the 1930s. The stairways were open, and it's amazing to see how many children were raised in that house and how open the stairways really were, how dangerous. It's amazing there's not a story of a tragic, tragic, terrible accident with the stairways the way that they were. The Victorian period, all rooms always had secret compartments and panels that opened, and every single room in this house had some little nook or cranny with a secret door. And it was just so well done. The beautiful, beautiful. The fabrics are there. The upholstery is still there. The carpeting is still there. The house is in exquisite, exquisite condition. The dining room was quite fascinating. The family, the women of the Hewitts, they were travelers. They were world travelers, and they would bring back treasures from everywhere. And there's... there's examples of Asian pieces from, you know, China at Tangier in one of the studies. And, you know, there's sculpture and there's artwork all from their travels. Most of the things that they brought back in their travels are quite big. They have sphinxes out in the garden and statuary from Italy and statuary from France. The wife of Hewitt, the daughter of Peter Cooper, she loved everything French. The one of the rooms in the house is French wallpaper that was hand-painted in France and took forever to bring it over. And it is a sea scene and sailboats. Quite beautiful. A lot of the original wallpaper is gone. But the dining room in particular just thrilled me. It was just so pretty and so large, but not like banquety looking. It was still intimate and probably could seat, you know, 24 people. It was set up for 10, and it was the fireplace at one end and the server on the other end. But the sconces in the room, everything was gas lit. All the lighting was gas lit, and of course is now electrified. But when it was gas lit, the sconces in the room are dragons, and then the globe goes above the dragon, and when it was gas lit, the flame came up through the globe. So that must have been just absolutely fascinating. The one thing the tour guide did point out, because these are all guided tours, you cannot meander through the house, and once the tour is over, you're pretty much escorted out, because you can't touch anything. Everything being so well preserved is, because people are not touching it and they are not, you know, the oils even from your skin can affect the finishes on furniture over time. But the thing that the tour guide pointed out about the dining room is that it may look lovely and you may think you want to eat here, but the palate of the family was not something that most people enjoy. The family ate what he explained to be meats in like a jello or a cream, potted meats. And I sort of laughed about it because it's not something that thrills me to death, but that is all French. This is what Miss Hewitt absolutely fell in love with because she ate, and the food that was served here was French, because that meat in like a gelatin is called aspic, and potted creamy is escaping me now, the name of a particular how it's made, but it is French. Julia Child's cookbook can help you out if you want to make aspic, but you can definitely count me out on that one. Not something that would thrill me. However, Girl in Town visited Ringwood Manor today, and it is just a magnificent day trip. It's 1 hour into New Jersey from New York City. It's really easy to get to, and it's a beautiful scenic ride through the mountains, and it is such an enjoyable day if you choose to visit Ringwood Manor. I was disappointed at the choice of books on this manor house. in their gift shop, and I'm wondering if there are any really nice photographs of the house. And if there are, I'll bring that information to you on a different day, because it would really, if it's somewhere you can't make it to, it really, just to look at how beautiful and how lovely this summer house, 50-room summer house, for this family was. They were friends of the Astors and the Vanderbilts and, you know, all of the families that had all of the money at the turn of the century. And you can see that they lived in great style and had such fine things to enjoy in their life. It's just such a pleasure to go and view it. The architecture is gorgeous. The grounds are even better. And if you go, pack a picnic lunch and go and enjoy the grounds and stay for a while. There are hiking trails all throughout. You can spend a solid day there, or just go and take the house tour, which is on every hour or every half hour from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Ringwood Manor House at Ringwood State Park in New Jersey. You can go to ringwoodmanor.org and get all of the information about the Manor House, or you can go to New Jersey, New York, New Jersey, tc.org, and you can find out about the trails, or you could just go to New Jersey State Parks and type in Hewitt, and it'll bring you right to Ringwood Manor. So that's Girl in Town for this week. And now, summer, I know TV must stink because it's all reruns, and I'm not a big TV fan because I don't get regular TV. That was my cat laying in, knocking over a computer. So I don't get regular TV, but I did just finish streaming Bloodline on Netflix. And if you get Netflix and you want to watch something interesting, and if you're into binge watching, which I am, because I don't really watch on regularly and turn the TV on. If I turn it on, I'll stream something that's just, you know, kind of keeping me company. But if I'm watching something and I want to pay attention, I do binge watch because I don't have time during the week to really sit down and watch something for half an hour or an hour. But Bloodline stars Kyle Chandler, Sissy Spacek is in it, Sam Shepard was in it in the beginning, and now and again. And it just was a fascinating story about a family that in Key West and what happens to them. And it's a story about people with no coping skills and how they get through some pretty traumatic things. And it was fascinating and really startling. So if you want to watch something to keep you entertained for the rest of the summer, I recommend Bloodline on Netflix. So also, let's talk about what's in the news. Turbulence on an American Airlines flight, injuring 10 people. Apparently, they're calling it clear sky turbulence. It just sort of rocked out of nowhere. It was totally unexpected and jarred the plane. That had to be pretty scary. I enjoy flying, and I've been on a couple of flights with some turbulence. So apparently, it was just totally, completely unexpected and gave a good bump. You know what? Isn't that how life happens, whether you're on a plane or your feet are planted firmly on the ground? Everything's fine, smooth sailing, until, bump, something stops. Something moves the way it's not supposed to move, and then you're startled. What do you do with that? Well, that's what we talk about here with strategies. If we live in a prepared way every single day, then perhaps we can take the turbulence on a little bit smoother. What I've been trying to do every single day in my life and in preparations of possibly moving again next year is really paring down a little bit each day in my world now, because I know there's certain things that I really enjoy having around me but are not necessary or are not part of something I want my life to look like. And that's what's important about building your lifestyle. Building your lifestyle is taking a look at what is and taking a look at what you think you might want. What do you want? Now, if you want exactly what you have and you're happy with it and you're content and you can't see any other changes with this, keep it. that's your lifestyle. That is what you enjoy. That is what you have time to take care of. That is what you have time to share. That is what enhances your energy level. It's what gives you a good attitude. It's what inspires you every day. When you look at it, you get up and you look at your environment, you say, wow, I really like where I am. Now, when you're, for me, for example, or when you're in a situation where you're looking around and saying, you know what, I really don't like this style anymore. There's too much stuff around, or it takes too much to clean it. Say you have a lot of glass and a lot of mirror, and you're a slave to it. You're constantly doing your glass, and you're spending a lot of time on it. Now you don't love it anymore because you're cleaning the glass too much. Well, start looking at what might please you that won't require so much maintenance. That's how you start working this out. I was sitting in my living room today doing work on this show and reading a bit and, you know, just enjoying my afternoon. And I was looking around, and I know the style of my house. There's certain things that I want to keep and certain things that I'm not going to keep, but I also know that I'm going to change what they look like. There are pieces, there are architectural pieces that I have as accent pieces and elements that are hanging on the wall. And they're all going to get painted. They're stained and they're dark wood. And it's time for me, in my life, I'm looking at the country French style where everything is lighter or painted. And that's what I'm looking forward to looking at my life as. So the pieces in my house that I know I'm not going to move with, I can start getting rid of now. I can start moving them out because my future doesn't look like this anymore. It also goes to clothing. Every day we go, we shop, we pick up a piece here, we pick up a piece there. Our clothing sort of evolves over time. Generally, I stay within a classic style because that's what I'm comfortable in, and I don't like to buy every year. I buy clothes that last 10 years. I wear them 10 years, 15 years. Easy. Some pieces of clothing that I have are 20 years old. I still regret getting rid of a skirt once that still fit, but I had it for something like 15 years, and I said, this has got to go. It's a very classic look, and I got rid of it just because I was sort of sick of it. I would wear it today. In a heartbeat, I would wear it today. So, you know, and I'm not suffering because I don't have it. I regret getting rid of it, but it's not like I have a lack of clothing at this point. The point is that we have to clean out and we have to evolve if we want to keep growing as a person, if we want to keep enjoying life and making things interesting, including ourselves. What makes you interesting? So in the news also was a little scary story. In Ocean City, Maryland, apparently a 30-year-old woman passed away. She was in a hole on the beach, and the sand caved in on her, and it killed her. And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking to myself, how did sand just cave in? And apparently this happens. Now, I grew up on the beach, literally, and I go to the beach, and I enjoy the beach. You know how you dig a hole and just sort of fills itself in, so it just slides in. So I started reading about this, and I don't completely understand this fully. So in simple terms, for people like me, what I read is that the angle of repose for sand is lower than, say, rocks, is lower than, say, dirt, because sand is brought to the surface after rolling around in the water. So sand is like marbles. You can lay them flat and contain them, but if you try to stack them, they might hold their shape for a while, but because they're round, they give way faster. That's like grains of sand. So the angle of repose on sand is at 30 degrees, whereas, say, for rocks, it's at 90 degrees. So they'll slide also, but it's going to be harder for them to do so. So if you want to learn more about that, you got to go to Google. You can't ask me. But the point is that, you know, it can be dangerous. So what a lot of the beaches are doing is they're putting out warnings that if you dig on the beach, the hole you dig should not be any deeper than the lowest knee of the smallest person. that's the rule of digging a hole on the beach. So I thought that was kind of interesting, reading that article. Today is National Sisters Day. It's National Friendship Day. It's National Fresh Breath Day. And get this, it's National Wiggle Your Toes Day, which started me thinking about something else. So before I continue on, this is Jennifer Ryan, and this is Create New Order, Blog Talk Radio, and this is Lifestyle Strategies. Join the conversation by calling 657-383-0732 with your questions, stories, ideas, or dilemmas, and I'd be happy to let you join me and tell me what's going on and how you're creating your new order. So now back to wiggling your toes, National Wiggling Your Toes Day. There's a national day for everything. Doesn't matter what you think might not be included. It's out there. But Wiggling Your Toes Day led me to start thinking about stretching. Do you stretch every day? Do you actually, when you wake up in the morning, do you reach your hands over your head and push your feet down and stretch your body? Just as a wake-up kind of thing. I thought everybody under the sun did this. I thought it was just natural to stretch. When I wake up, I think it, for me, I don't think about it. I just automatically stretch. Now, many people, I have come to find out throughout my life, I ask this question now and again, that people don't automatically and naturally stretch. And I know why. My mom, when we were babies, I mean, we were infants, for newborns, probably the first day that we were breathing, my mother would give a little tug on our legs and our arms up over our heads so that we would actually naturally stretch. If you do that to an infant, their response is to push. So if you give a little tug on their feet, they will push their legs. If you put their arms up over their head, they will push them. And they will actually move their torso and stretch their torso. And if you do this with a baby, it will become a natural thing for them to stretch their body. Now, what's the advantages of stretching? Now, we have found out in exercise that stretching is not a great thing to do before exercise like we always thought it was. To reap the benefits of stretching, you should do it consistently. But if you do it before a workout when the body's at rest, it can be harmful since muscles can actually tighten up in the process. Static stretching after exercise is typically beneficial, helping the muscles relax. However, regular stretching, just normal every day, push your hands up over your head, push your feet, stand up, and reach for the ceiling, it keeps your muscles flexible and strong and healthier. It will help you maintain flexibility in your range of motion in your joints. And without it, your muscles shorten and become tight, which makes it harder for you to move, which makes your flexibility go down, which also can cause you to have injury if you don't stretch on a regular basis, not before. So say you go out and do a sport and you're not a regular stretcher, you're more prone to injury, joint injury and muscle injury, if you're muscles are not regularly stretched out and healthy. So you can also have a lot of pain in your joints and in your muscles if you don't maintain good flexibility in your body. So stretch every day, reach up and just stretch. It feels really good. And to be perfectly honest with you, I really think it keeps your spine in line as well. I really do. But what do I know? I'm not a doctor. Give it a good stretch. You'll feel better. And if you take a deep breath when you do it, you're also going to push some oxygen through your body as well. So before we talked about jealousy as motivation, if you're jealous of somebody else, why not take that energy and put it toward your energy to be positive in your own life? If you're jealous of somebody, say they, have a great wardrobe, well, start paying attention to your wardrobe and start learning how to shop for you and building a wardrobe. Say you're jealous of somebody else's job or career or their salary package. A lot of people at work, you know, they're constantly talking about money, or, you know, you hear them talking about, oh, I got a bonus, or you hear somebody, you know, complaining that they're just not making it, or they need more and they need a better situation. So you're jealous of somebody else because they have a good situation, but what are you doing about yours? What is it that you need to do to improve yourself? If you're talking about work and you're talking about why you're not advancing, then you need to look at yourself first and say, what is it that I'm doing or not doing that's causing me to stay where I am? And again, like I said before, if you like where you are, if you like your environment, if you like what you do, then keep it. Be happy with that. Appreciate it. And do what you do with satisfaction. But if it's not enough or it's too much and you need something to change, start thinking about with a clear head, not an emotional reaction, what is going to work well for me? And start making advances to what is going to work well for you. It might be a little scary. It might be a little hard to comprehend. You might get a little emotional about it because you may be uncertain about that next step. But if you don't take that next step, how do you know what can come for you? What will be the result of taking that step? Taking a swing, like I practiced this morning on the tennis court. So for your motivation, if you have a little jealousy towards someone or something, why not use it to make a positive step in the direction you really want to go? Build your confidence. If you build your confidence, then planning becomes easier. Achieving becomes easier if you're stronger. So plan your confidence building. Plan what it is you need to be a stronger individual, whether it's in your life or in your work or both. How about for inspiration? You reflect back on history. Like I talked in Girl in Town at Ringwood Manor, how inspiring to see the achievements of people over time. And then even see how most people don't live in a mansion like that, in a lifestyle like that anymore, but how well preserved the state park system is keeping the house so that you can go and you can see some of the beautiful craftsmanship. You can go and see the gardens. You can go and see gorgeous fabrics that have stood the test of time. You can see the teensy little chairs that women sat in because they had hoop skirts. And you can see, you know, fireplace tiles that were hand-painted. These are things that can inspire us even just to take up a hobby, which a couple of weeks ago we talked about hobbies. We all need them. We need to decompress in our life, and we need to feel good about what we're doing. But we also need something to come from us, whether it's knitting or if it's painting, singing, dancing. Many people go out and dance. Why not? What is the hobby? Where are you going to go, like Girl in Town, to find inspiration to give you energy and ideas to live a great lifestyle? Getting organized, folks. Cleaning up and cleaning out your magazines, takeout menus, cookbooks, all of the above. Even the pamphlets picked up on a Girl in Town excursion. Are you going to clean it out, or are you going to let it hang around forever because you went and you saw it and there's all the information about the place? Well, this world that we live in now, today, is all about computers. You can Google anything rapidly. If you can remember some of the ingredients in a recipe that you once had and you can't seem to put your fingers on that pile of recipes, you can probably Google it and get the same recipe or one very much like it. I have gotten rid of and removed many of the cookbooks that I used to have and kept the old favorites and the traditional recipes. I don't cook a lot of new recipes. It's not my style to pick out something out of a newspaper and say, gee, I'm going to make this week. That's not what I do. I I found that I can't be bothered with that. I don't have a full pantry. I don't have every single spice under the sun. So I like to make things, you know, that I normally make. If I want something out of the ordinary, I might want to get that when I go out to a great restaurant and order it from there. So that's not my style. But the recipes that I did keep that are traditional recipes and passed down recipes, I have put them all on the computer. Just like I said, everything is really computer-based now. These books can be kept in a computer, and we can have everything at our fingertips if we really take the time and effort to put them in. And you don't need a scanner to do it. You can take your favorite recipes and type them in and label them, and you have a whole set of recipes in a file, and you can call it your recipe book. It's easy to do if you just spend the time and spend a little bit of time each and every day, which many of you are time starved, and I would challenge you to start purging whatever it is that's taking up your time that causes you stress. The fact of the matter is that if you're always in a hurry and you're always running out of time and you're overwhelmed, that means you're doing too much. And if you're doing too much and there's no way to cut out anything on that list of what you're doing, then your life is overburdened. It's overscheduled. It's too great of a chore for you to live the lifestyle you're in. So I challenge you to think about that. That's the thought of the week, I think, is really, why am I holding on to all these things that overwhelm me and take up my time? And how can I reduce it? Reduce it by 10%, 20%, 30%. Your life will become easier. It will simply become easier if you reduce what surrounds you. Now, I do have a complaint of the week. And, you know, I try not to complain, and some of you know me and some of you have heard me complain, but the complaint of the week happens to be for OxiClean. Yes, OxiClean. I went to do some laundry, and I have to go to a laundry room. So for many of you who have a laundry room and the container doesn't have to travel with you, you're not going to have this problem. But the OxiClean lid does not stay on. So if the OxiClean container shifts, the lid pops off and you have OxiClean everywhere. I don't know why they make it this way. And I would challenge all of us, because we're going to complain if it's too hard to remove, then we're going to complain we can't get the lid off. But I cannot tell you how many times the OxiClean container has given way and I've had OxiClean in the bottom of the laundry bag. At least it was captured. I didn't lose the product. I was able to pour it back into its container. But you would think that it would have a more solid snap in its lid. So I'm thinking I'm just going to have to transfer it to some other container that I can pour out of, because I can't fight with a cleaning container, a laundry detergent cleaning container. This is Jennifer Ryan, Create New Order. .com, and this is Lifestyle Solutions on Blog Talk Radio. Today is August 6th, 2017. It's Sunday night. And if you'd like to join the conversation, give me a call at 657-383-0732, or if you have a question or idea about a better lifestyle and what you have been doing for your summertime. And again, I'm talking about water at the beginning of the show and drinking more water and the benefits of water. But if you have dry skin, which a lot of people complain about in the summer, and calluses, and you just can't seem to get, you know, you may have itchy skin. You just can't seem to get the hydration. It may be because you're not consuming enough water. Listen, folks, we need water, and it's life-sustaining. Obviously, but it improves our skin, it improves our thinking, it improves our speech, it improves so much health-wise to keep us going, and we may not even be paying attention. But aside from drinking more water and staying hydrated in the summer for dry skin, what are you using on your skin? personally, I use a lot of oil. I use coconut oil. I use baby oil. I use olive oil on my skin. If you're using lotions and you have dry skin, I would suggest to you that you stop. Lotion is mostly water. You're just putting water on your skin. And water should come from within to hydrate your skin. So I would suggest oils or heavier creams for your skin. And most importantly, reduce caffeine and alcohol and increase your water consumption, because alcohol and caffeine will dehydrate you as well. And that's tea, coffee, doesn't matter. If it has caffeine, it's going to dehydrate your skin. So what is it that you're thinking about, and what is it that you're going to be doing for the rest of your summer? Well, I'll tell you what Girl in Town is going to be doing. I will be going to Englishtown, New Jersey for that big, giant flea market. Not that I need to buy anything, but it's a place that I've always wanted to go. I will be going to Hartford, Connecticut to the Mark Twain House. I also will be going to Waterford, Connecticut for Roseland. I think it's Roseland Estate, and viewing those houses before the end of the summer and bringing those adventures and excursions to you here on Blog Talk Radio Lifestyle Solutions with Create New Order and Girl in Town. Life is an event. Every single moment can be an event and can be enjoyed. We have a choice. We can feel bad because something's not going on, or we can feel really good that something's not going on. Why not just relax into the downtime of life? There is downtime, and take advantage of it. I watch many children now overscheduled. They are constantly going to here to there, from here to there, and they're always doing something, and they are enjoying no relaxation, no downtime. I can remember as a child just laying on the grass and looking up at the clouds and forming shapes out of the clouds, and that one looks like a clown and that one looks like an ice cream cone. I don't see kids doing this anymore. I don't see kids just unplugged. I cannot believe how often I go and I see everybody at the table with their smartphone, with that looking something up. This is adults and children. What happened to the art of conversation? How does life improve if we don't interact with each other, if we don't learn from each other? I suggest you unplug. It's still summer. It's time to really enjoy yourself. Put the phone away. Don't answer the phone. Don't talk to people when you're doing an activity. Why would you do that? Why would you take your time away from, antique collecting and shopping, and looking around and answer your phone? What's the reason for that? Why do we have to stay so immediately connected? How about you give yourself an hour off? Just shut the phone off and have an hour off. I suggest to you that it will be one of the most pleasant hours you've ever had. You won't have any stress or tension. You won't have any other thoughts except your own. And it will be quiet. Just unplug. It's healthy. Remember to stretch. Remember to get out and live your life. Drink lots of water in the summer. Stay hydrated so you can stay beautiful and that great, great personality and attitude can shine through. Also keeps your eyes shining, right? And get plenty of sleep. Like I said before, sleep patterns can change when environment changes, when we age. When life is stressful, we can have difficulty sleeping. I'm hearing from so many people that they're having interrupted sleep, 2, 3 a.m., anytime between 2 and 4 a.m. People are not sleeping. They're waking up worrisome. And this is adults, children, doesn't matter. Lots of sleep disturbances I'm hearing about from clients and friends. So all I can suggest to you is, like I said, I'm going to drink some herbal tea. So I get a good night's sleep tonight. And exercise, nutrition, consistent is helpful in getting good sleep. But without good sleep, we lose our focus. We can become very short-tempered and have difficulty coping and focusing. So I really suggest you get yourself into good sleep habits and turn off the television. Don't sleep with the television on. It will disturb you all night long. Once again, this is Jennifer Ryan, and this is Lifestyle Strategies. CreateNewOrder.com is my website. If you want to send me an email, you can send me an email at solutions@createneworder.com. You can call me on the show at 657-383-0732 to join the conversation. My number in my office is 631-979-9530. And you can call me anytime and leave a message, and I will always get back to you. And this is Lifestyle Solutions. What's your end game, folks? What is it that you want to improve in your life? Get out and adventure like Girl in Town and pick a destination to go and visit and learn something new about a life you didn't know about. Learn something new about a region. Learn something new about craftsmanship. Learn something new about life that can inspire you to have a happier life. What's your comfort level, folks? Get uncomfortable, get off the couch, unplug, and adventure through. It will be nothing but interesting and make you a more interesting person. What are you working toward? And what's your end game? What's coming up next? Next in my life will be, of course, more adventures with Girl in Town and more strategy talk for you, my listener, my client, here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for joining me. And once again, it's August 6, 2017. And make your life happy and comfortable. This is Jennifer Ryan. Have a great week, and we'll talk again.